You're listening to This Boy Elroy, episode number 23.
Hey, everybody. This is Adam, and it is November 8th, 2006. So it is after the midterm elections of 2006. And what can I say? I am speechless. I am overjoyed. I can't believe it. I'm so excited. Wow, I have so much to say. But first, I want to start off talking about just my election day. Oh, wow. I'm just so excited. I mean, I've just been walking around all day in the best mood. I'm absolutely exhausted right now because I stayed up so late to watch the election results come in last night on, on cable, flipping through the various channels, getting all the different predictions and everything. I mean, normally midterm elections are not this exciting, but wow. Well, because most of the time, you know, Democrats just lose. So it's a real depressing kind of night. And, at first I had trouble reading the TV. I couldn't believe that I was seeing so many projections for Democrats and seeing them ahead. I had to stop myself and double check and ask, am I reading that correctly? Because I'm not used to seeing it. You know, you're just used to seeing the sea of red, you know? So cool. I'm so excited. So my election day, I woke up. I got dressed, of course. Duh. Anyway. And I went to go vote here in Dallas, Brad, and I went to go vote at our polling place. It was pretty crowded when we got there, but it started to thin out as we waited a little bit. It seemed chaotic at first, and at that point during the day, I was still in a kind of, I don't know, stance about everything. I didn't know what was going to happen. I had started, before I went to the polls, I had read that there were some problems with the voting machines, and I was getting nervous about that because, oh man, I think voting machines are just a bad idea. I think they're a really bad idea. To me, the best technology for elections are the simplest ones because it's hard to corrupt simple technologies. Like paper, for example. I think it's really difficult to corrupt paper. So, you know, you'd have to basically destroy ballots, steal them, stuff the box. And that's kind of hard to do seeing as how many people are around watching elections, volunteers, observers. You know, I was asking, I was online last night. Oh, it was so much fun last night because I was on Instant Messenger with the Gay Expat and Andy Melton and Matt Blender and Scott from Scottorama. And we were all just watching it together. And I was, the Gay Expat was live blogging from Europe about the election. And, he was, we were just getting all the information. It was so much fun. It was just so much fun to get all the information and everything and just, I don't know, spend it with people who were as excited about it as I was. So it was really great. But anyway, I was asking the Gay Expat about this. Does anybody know if United States elections are observed by neutral people from another country? Because, the United States a lot, and the United Nations does this, I believe, also. We send people to observe elections to make sure that they're conducted fairly. You always hear about that. You hear about Jimmy Carter usually. It's like the first person that comes to mind. Jimmy Carter observes elections in South America, whatnot, and Africa, things like that. Does anybody observe our elections? Does anybody observe other developed nations' elections? I'm just curious if anybody knows the answer to that. Because I think it's a really good question, and I don't see why larger developed nations shouldn't be observed. I think they are just as much at risk for corruption, or maybe even more so, than these smaller places. So I just had a question about that. Somebody can answer that. So anyway, back to my polling experience. It was chaotic. It was crazy. And I was starting to get a bad feeling. So because it was so crazy, I had already planned on doing this. I just voted straight Democratic ticket on my ballot. And in Texas, the ballots have that option where you can just bubble one party or the other. And, you know, I was like just Democrat across the board, you know, and I knew I supported all the Democratic candidate. I supported the, you know, the Democratic candidate for Senate who lost, but that was to be expected. Kay Bailey Hutchinson is still the senator from Texas, unfortunately, but you know, she's pretty hard to unseat. She's the senior senator from Texas. She's pretty much, you know, a nasty, vile cunt, but you know, what can I do? It's not my, maybe next time we'll get rid of John Cornyn or something like that. Anyway, Kay Bailey Hutchinson pisses me off because, you know, she's that one that said perjury is a technicality. Right. Anyway, only when it comes to people in her party, though. But when it comes to Bill Clinton, it's impeachable. But anyway, So I voted straight Democratic ticket. It made the election process a lot quicker. And what else? Oh, and there were some bond issues for Dallas, and I voted on those, and I left, and it was good. So I went to work, and I pretty much, you know, didn't watch anything on the internet the whole day, but it was still in the back of my mind. I was reading all the reports about the voting machines, and getting nervous about that. The voting machines are just such a bad idea to me. I think paper's the way to go. So I went home early because I was so excited about everything and I just wanted to find out. I wanted to get home and kind of set myself up, get comfortable so I could sit in front of the television. And the results started coming in and I was just absolutely floored. I couldn't believe it. And I can't believe it now. And it's just so amazing. Oh, but something happened at work I wanted to talk about. I forgot about this. So we're at work, we're at lunch. And this guy, he's a new postdoc in the lab. He just recently moved to Dallas from Pennsylvania, from Philadelphia. And I asked him, "Oh, so did you vote absentee because you know, you just moved here?" He says, "Yeah, I did my voting already." I was like, "Oh, okay." And I just kind of joked. I was like, "Oh, did you vote for Santorum? Ha ha ha." Because I mean maybe it was stupid of me to assume. I shouldn't do this in the future, but you know, I figure someone in science, someone who's educated, wouldn't vote for Rick Santorum. I mean, the man is a lunatic, absolutely a lunatic. He's totally driven by faith and ridiculous religious doctrine, and I don't see how somebody of science could really support somebody like that. And he said, "Yeah, actually I did." You know, and he kind of laughed it off, and I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Look, I know, you know, he's a little extreme and everything, but he brings a lot of money to, you know, where I'm from, which is Pittsburgh. You know, he's from the Pittsburgh area originally. And he brings a lot of money to my side of the state." And I go, "You know, the man is a bigot, right?" And he's like, "What?" And I explained to him, well, you know, he equated, you know, gay people to dogs, basically. With this whole comment about gay sex is like man on dog. And also he compared the war in Iraq to Lord of the Rings. And I explained all these things to him. And you know, and then I said that the Lord of the Rings things first. And then I said about how he equated gay people to dogs. And then I said, you know, and he's so anti-gay and he considers gay people second-class citizens and he you know, he wants to curtail our freedoms and all this stuff. He doesn't want us to have equal rights. And you know what his answer to this was? And he said it laughingly, so maybe, you know, it was, I guess I made him a little bit uncomfortable because he was laughing. He said, "Well, that doesn't pertain to me." My jaw went absolutely slack. And I turned to him and I said, "Oh, really? Well, I'll remember that you feel that way in the future." And that was it. And I'm done with him. I'm absolutely done with this person. I don't even want to associate with him. I don't want to talk to him. It's absolutely disgusting. And if he ever asks me for anything or whatever, the slightest thing, I'm just going to say, you know what? That doesn't pertain to me. Because I'm done with it. I can't believe that, you know? And it's just, and then he starts talking about how, see, this is why I don't think people should talk about politics, because it gets people all crazy and all this stuff. And then I said, what, you know, I was like, I think people should talk about politics. You know what? I'm glad I know that you support Rick Santorum now. I'm glad that I know that now. And I think we should talk about politics. I don't know why it's so taboo in this country to talk about politics. You know, we should be discussing these things with one another and finding out where we stand. But in short, though, I just, you know, I can't tolerate his benevolent bigotry is what I'm calling it, you know. Because you know what he did after he did that whole tirade about why you shouldn't talk politics? He leans into me and he's like, hey, I just want you to know, I don't vote on social issues. I vote because, you know, I voted for him because he's fiscally conservative. At which point, I just absolutely laughed at him for the obvious reasons, because Rick Santorum is not fiscally conservative. And I said, you know, and I was just like, whatever, you know. Because what is that supposed to mean? I just voted for him because, I don't mind slavery as long as I'm not a slave. Oh, the war in Iraq? Well, I'm not a soldier and I'm not fighting the war, so that doesn't really pertain to me. Go fuck yourself, pig fucker. That's disgusting. Same thing. I swear to God, I got so angry. I got so angry at him. Anyway, it's done. I wasn't gonna, you know, and I was angry with him all day, and then I started seeing the results, and I just was so happy, and I was like, you want to know what? I'm not gonna let his bullshit, his benevolent bigotry, ruin the excitement that I have that the House has gone Democrat, and now Nancy Pelosi is the Speaker of the House, the first woman, the first Italian American to be Speaker of the House. Very, very exciting. It's just so amazing, and I think I'm really hopeful for her, and I have a lot of optimism for her. She came out and, you know, she made some speeches last night after the results were coming in, and it was clear that the Democrats were going to take the House, and I think she's setting the correct tone. She's got this first 100 hours plan. I think it's 100 hours, not 100 days. I don't think it's the first 100 hours plan. She wants to raise the minimum wage. She wants to enact some of the 9/11 commission recommendations. She wants to lower interest rates on student loans, you know, and tackle the whole prescription drug issue and make that more affordable for people. I mean, it's great that she's coming out now and she's striking while the iron's hot, because a big criticism that is just so, I don't even understand why people bring this up, of Democrats, you know, from the Republicans and the conservatives, is, oh, well, you haven't shown us what the alternatives are. You haven't presented any kind of alternative. Well, you've been in control for the past 12 years, and even if we had an alternative to present, you would just shoot it down. It probably wouldn't even get to the, we probably wouldn't have even gotten to the floor of the House, because you're in control of the House and Speaker of the House, and the majority gets to control what comes to the floor of the House. So now it's our turn. Now it's the Democrats' turn to decide what comes to the floor of the House, and maybe even the floor of the Senate. We're still waiting on that. As of right now, we're still waiting on Virginia, but it looks pretty good. Last time I calculated, it was about a 7,000 vote spread in favor of Webb over Allen in Virginia, which that'll be it. That's the majority for the Democrats. But at worst, there's a tie. Dick Cheney breaks the tie. He's the vice president, which makes him also the president of the Senate. So he breaks ties. Basically, that is the job of the vice president of the United States. That's pretty much it. He's there to break ties in the Senate. I don't think he does anything else. But I would have to say that the second most powerful person in the United States government is the Speaker of the House. Definitely. And that is Nancy Pelosi. And she's a Democrat. And it's amazing. It's so amazing. So what does this mean for people that aren't necessarily familiar with American government and how it's structured? Basically, what this means is that, you know, because Democrats control the House, like I said, they get to control what comes to the floor, okay? What issues come to the floor. Also, all of the committees, the subcommittees that kind of handle all of the details of government, like defense and the environment, education, veterans affairs, you know, economy, things like that. All of those committees are going to get restructured in the new Congress. Right now, they all have Republican majority on these committees because right now in this Congress, the lame duck Congress, it's Republican controlled. However, when the new Congress comes in, which will be dominated by Democrats, all of the committees will get restructured by the majority. And also, the majority of the people on those committees will be Democratic. And the chairmans will also be Democratic. So that's how it works. And that's, I mean, there's clear advantages to being in the majority in the American system of government. And also the same thing happens in the Senate. If the Democrats win the majority in the Senate, all of the Senate committees will get restructured as well. And besides the obvious voting in the large chambers. So it's just so exciting. And I think Pelosi's definitely on the right footing with she's coming out and she's saying, let's get to work. You know, I feel like she's really kind of rolling up her sleeves already and saying, okay, we celebrated, now let's do it. And that's exactly how I feel. And it's certainly time for us now for those of us that are in support of the Democrats and support of change and support of changing the direction of this country that it has been going in. It is now even more important to email, to call, to fax your representatives and your senators, because now they have the power to change things. Before, there was pretty much nothing they could do. It was very little that they could do. But now that the Democrats are in control, they have the power to really start making changes. And so write them, fax them, email them. Do it. You know, let them know. Let them know. We can't just say, okay, that's it. We won the majority. You know, let's sit down. We need to keep fighting. We need to keep making sure that that we get out of this fog that we're in right now and come back to some sense of normalcy. I mean, I don't really like that word, but, you know, let's get away from where we are right now, because right now we're pretty much at the bottom of the barrel. So now more than ever is a time to get involved and to be vocal with your representatives in Congress. Oh God, I'm just so excited. So excited. Let's see here. I just wanted to ramble off some interesting statistics that I posted on my blog. It was a blog post that I made today after the election called The Great Work Begins. So the Senate has gone through a purge at the very least. We've gotten rid of, we took five seats from the Republicans. The Democrats took five seats from the Republicans, which is very, very great. Also, in the midterm elections, we have what's called a dual federalist system in this country. And I'm explaining this for people that don't know that are citizens of the United States. And also for those of you that are listening from other countries, we have what's called a dual federalist system in this country. So that means that you have the federal government and then you have state governments. And the state governments have houses and senates as well. So 28 of the 50 states now have Democratic governors. Those are the heads of the states. And 21 states now have state legislatures that are controlled by Democrats in both the state houses and the state senates. So that's pretty remarkable, too. That's really good news for the states. Also, and just to let you know, the Republicans control 15 states in both the House and the Senate, and then 9 states are split between both parties. So it's a split. Also, I just want to make a really quick make a mention about Arizona is the first state, and probably be the only state to reject a Defense of Marriage Act and to amend their constitution, and they've rejected amending their constitution to ban gay marriage. So Go Arizona. That's a victory against bigoted and discriminatory laws. I think that's fantastic. Way to go, Arizona. Fortunately, Arizona also elected to make English the official language of Arizona. They passed some quirky anti-immigration laws in Arizona as well. But anyway, also South Dakota rejected a statewide ban on abortion. That's a huge victory for personal liberty and freedom of choice. The intention that the Republicans and the conservatives had with this South Dakota measure and getting in a ban on abortion in South Dakota was that it would eventually challenge Roe v. Wade in the Supreme Court. And now that's not going to happen. And yeah, terrific. Awesome. My congresswoman, a Democrat, Eddie Bernice Johnson, retained her congressional seat in the 30th Congressional District here in Dallas. She got 80% of the vote, which was awesome. And this is also, this goes to something else with what I want to say. Dallas County's Craig Watkins, he's also a Democrat, won the criminal district attorney. So basically, he's the public prosecutor for Dallas County. That's excellent. Now, this is something, this next piece of information is really remarkable. Because this is Dallas, Texas, arguably a conservative stronghold. We're certainly surrounded by extremely red counties over here in Dallas County. And for the first time since I think 1980, okay, this has happened, and it's really, really interesting. All of the Democratic candidates for Dallas County judges, okay, we elect judges here in the counties. All of the Democratic candidates who were running against Republicans won the judge positions. So all of the Democrats won. Not a single Democratic contender lost in Dallas County in a race where there was a Democratic where there was a Democrat running. None of those Democrats lost in Dallas County. That's remarkable. That's absolutely remarkable, and it has not happened since 1980, 26 years. 26 years ago, Dallas County, during the whole big conservative Reagan revolution, you know, basically that's when the Democratic Party in Texas started getting dismantled and destroyed. And so 26 years. So that's really, really remarkable. And again, I just want to reiterate, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. So for those of us that are support Democrats, support change, and you want to get the country back on, like, you know, a normal just American and democratic system, you know, footing here, we need to be active now more than ever, more so than when just, you know, things were, you know, we need to be active and we need to be outspoken now more so than when we were the underdogs. So let's do that. Sorry. Excuse me, I'm burping. Let's see now, what else? Oh, well, of course, the other big news today, Donald Rumsfeld resigned. And the media is kind of running with this thing saying about how, you know, Bush said that Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense, would serve out his full term as Secretary of Defense, and that he was gonna stay on his full term, when it's clear now that when Bush said that, he was clearly looking for replacements, and he was clearly entertaining, you know, Rumsfeld resigning. So, you know, it just goes to show the man likes to lie. The man loves to lie and deceive, and he made that statement, you know, purely for political reasons. All right. So, yeah, I'm just so excited. This is so great. We're going to get in those committees, and it's going to be, oh, man. You know, it's probably not going to be, like, sweeping changes, but for the first time in 6 years, I have so much optimism and hope for this country now. I have just been so depressed and down in the dumps about this country for the past 6 years. It was just, I'm like speechless. I can't even explain to you how happy I am right now, because I really felt we were in the darkest, darkest of days. Really felt we were in the darkest of days. And we still are. We still are, because it's not like all of these problems are going to go away overnight. We need to work to fix all this mess that we made. And now, and I always, even no matter how kind of down in the dumps I got, I always had hope. And now I have even more hope that this country is going to, is on its way to repairing itself and restoring itself. As an example of, you know, a free and moral republic. So I really believe that things are going to change. And I just want to say, I need to go to my blog here, thisboyelroy.com. I'm here. I'm Liz. I just want to say a thank you. Some commentators here. Sunshine Eddie, he has a blog. He's from Australia. He was sending positive energy all the way from Australia. And he says, let's get rid of John Howard's bedfellow once and for all. Go America. That's great. Thanks. I love the support. Matt in UK, hope you guys and girls get the results that you want. Good luck from across the Atlantic. Thank you so much. You know, I want to say sorry to Brett Cajun. I was IMing with him last night, and he didn't know that the election was going so well. And so I told him to turn on the TV, and he was glued to the television all night, and he stayed up too late. So I want to thank again, you know, those people from Australia and from the United Kingdom. Thanks for your good thoughts, because, you know, I think the whole world is breathing a sigh of relief. And you can go to the New York Times. And go check out Al Jazeera also. It's really interesting. Go check out and read what is the Middle East's reaction to this news that the Democrats are now in power. In general, across the world, it's a positive reaction. People are excited, and they're hoping now that things are going to change, that America's not going to be such a bully, and that, well, the president, really, Bush, isn't going to be such a bully. That, you know, he can't just be this cavalier cowboy anymore doing whatever he wants. He has a Congress now that will, you know, exercise some oversight on him and say, well, now, wait a minute, you can't just go and do this, you know? And so in general, the world's reaction is great, you know, and there's some reactions that are like, well, I hope, you know, the Democrats just don't cut and run and everything else like that. But, you know, I think those are people that really are just kind of misinformed about what the Democrats are about, you know. So, yeah, go to some news sources and read about what the world reaction is. Thanks for the support from across the pond in Australia. I just love that. And also, in closing, I want to say, I get kind of emotional about this. I want to say thank you to all the podcasters out there who, over the past 2 years, have just been really beating the drum alongside me, just trying to get the word out to people about how shitty the conservative ideology is, and how shitty and how much they've, you know, just really fucked us all over, and how crappy this president is. And how there needs to be change. I really, in some way, shape, or form, and I may just be having delusions of grandeur, but I do believe that, you know, we all had some part in this, that in our speaking out and our expressing our viewpoints on our podcasts, that we had some part in this. And it's just really amazing. And I could be completely wrong, but part of me thinks that that can't be. That, you know, we may have gotten to maybe just one person, and that one person told someone else about some issue that we brought up, some kind of transgression that was committed against the American people by the Republican Congress, by the president. And then that person told another person, and another person, and another person. And that's what it's all about. And I want to say just thank you to all of you that have just been speaking out day in and day out, and that we're going to continue to speak out. So people like Justin from justinfeed.com, Richard Bluestein, a.k.a. Madge Weinstein from Yeast Radio, the gay expat, and these are all pretty much, you know, gay podcasters, but these are the people that I listen to, and these are the people that, you know, Wanda Wisdom, I mean, she's been doing her part also, you know, like beating the drum and everything. How could I forget her? You know, JT from JT Online, of course, you know, like he talks about these things too. He talks about news. I mean, he talks about it in a casual way, but you know, there's something about the way he puts it that he really kind of gets his point across. And so, you know, Mikey Pod, oh my God, Mikey Pod, that's like, yeah, awesome. You know, just like talking about activism and what it means to be an activist and you know, changing the way you think about your life and all this stuff, especially now with his podcast. Please go check it out, MikeyPod.com. It's really, really interesting. So all those people and everybody else who speaks out and goes out there and protests and lets your voice be heard, you guys, I mean, we're all part of this, and we all helped bring this wave about. And so, you know, and we need to keep doing it, and we need to keep being more active now more than ever. So, all right, everybody, I'm feeling really good, and thanks for everybody who voted, and yeah, things are going to get better. So I'll talk to y'all later. Bye-bye. Tell us why you had to hide away for so long.